Deborah. Okay. Good. Let's go in. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 18. And we're going to go from verse 4 through verse 19. But don't be worried, I'm not going to be going my usual pace of, you know, this week we're discussing this word and that word, and that's it. But no, we're going to be giving a brief overview of this section. I've entitled this message, "It Is Not Always Great." The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 4 onwards, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted me in me." Now today's message, it's a little bit more topical in nature. It will be mainly concerning the first three verses here. Now as I was examining this section of scripture, it was evident that at the beginning here, David was not having the best day. He wasn't having the best day of his life. I mean, verses 4 and 5 here, they do not speak of praise and rejoicing. There was no comfort at this point. From what I could see, this was a man surrounded by troubles. And not little tiny kitten troubles like we get sometimes. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I left the milk out and it's gone bad. Little tiny kitten trouble, you know. No, no. This was, you know, great, big, fat, hairy, axe-carrying, looking to turn you into fertilizer kind of troubles. He was surrounded by these problems, surrounded by difficulties. There were major issues in David's life, as well as several people looking to end David's life. Twice here he says that he was compassed about. You know, twice he says, like, I'm compassed about. What was he compassed about with? He was compassed about with the sorrows of death, and he was compassed about with the sorrows of hell. David was a warrior, but he was afraid at this point. It seemed like he had no way out. He was completely surrounded by enemies and fear and terror. Now, obviously, not many of us have been in that exact situation. You know, physically being surrounded by enemies looking to end you. But we have been, many of us probably have been, in situations that there seemed to be no way out of. Where we were surrounded and overpowered and about to be overwhelmed by troubles. In every direction that we look around, there seemed to be no hope, no comfort. And things just seem to be getting harder and harder and more desperate. I mean, have you ever been there? Wait, all you look around is like, there's just nothing but problems. Every direction you look, there's problems over here, there's problems over there. And they're getting bigger and darker. You know, like some huge tidal wave, but coming in from all sides. I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I've been there a couple times in my life where just, everything is just like, what is going on here? But maybe we can look at this in a way that we can be more prepared for it if it happens again. When we are not having a good day, when things are not so great. So I think that every believer must be prepared for bad situations. Why?
Amen.
Because they're inevitable. Bad situations, they're going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. We live on planet Earth. Bad situations, they come along. They come more often than the postman. In fact, often the postman brings them. But it's like, I did what? But, you know, they're inevitable. They're going to happen. In this life, stuff happens and we do get into bad situations. But how can we be prepared for them? First thing you can do is you can identify the type of bad situation. You know, you get into a bad situation, identify the type of bad situation. There are usually two types. The type that happens when you do something wrong, and the type that happens when you do something right. I mean, because sometimes we get into bad situations because of our own stupidity and sin. Mm-hmm. I only got one amen there. That's but the other were like, oh yeah, okay, don't look at me. But yeah, it happens. Sometimes we get into bad situation because of our stupidity and our sin. Like Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 16. Now, many of you are probably familiar with the story about Samson. A man that the Lord had blessed with great, great strength. And he had some problems. See, time and time again, he did wrong. Breaking the vows that he had made. Getting involved with people that he should not be dealing with. And finally, the sin of pride. Thinking that the strength that he possessed was his and not from the Lord. You know, because he said to himself, oh, I'll just shake myself off like I did every other time that people tried to buy me. I'll go out and beat up the Philistines. But no. He was too proud. And what did that get him? That got him blinded, imprisoned, and eventually chained between two pillars in some pagan temple to be mocked of the Philistines. He was there, and it was his own fault.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't God that put him there. He kept on. God gave him plenty of chances. Plenty of chances. He was there, it was his own fault. Also, Jonah, a very familiar section of the Bible. You know, even people out in the world have heard about Jonah and you know, his difficulties. God told him to go to Nineveh. But instead, he ran away from God's calling and tried to go in the opposite direction. Not only was he paying his own fare, but he paid a greater price there. He was cast into the sea, spending 3 days imprisoned in the belly of that beast. He was there for disobedience. He was stubborn and hard-hearted. You know how stubborn he was? It was on the third day that he prayed unto the Lord. The third... Think about that. How stubborn this man was. He was inside this beast in the water, and he was there for 3 days until he called out to the Lord. That's pretty stinking stubborn. Yeah, it's like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Sitting here in this whale, this special beast that got in, like, sitting here. Nope. 3 days. Stubborn. Yeah. And he was there for disobedience, like I said. This situation, it was his own fault. So when you are in a bad situation, you must ask yourself, is it my sin that has placed me here? Often it is yes. Often in bad, when you get into bad situations, it's yes. My sin has placed me here. You know, I send my prayer letter out each month to many different people, and one person that's requested my prayer letter is an inmate in a prison in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And he's in there, and it's his own sin that got him in there.
Yep.
Now, he's, you know, from what I could tell, you know, he's born again now. Mm-hmm. But he still is in the prison. His situation, because of his sin, that's where he's at. It's his own fault. Now, sometimes you get into bad situations even when you do what is right, or because you do what is right. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, continued to pray to the Lord despite the ruling of that present king, who of course had been manipulated by politicians. No big surprise there. And he was thrown into the den of lions for doing what was right. Just like his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they refused to bow down before an idol, they were thrown into a furnace. Job was doing righteous things, and yet he still got into many problems. Even Paul, when he tried to do the right thing by warning a master of the ship not to set sail, he was ignored. He tried to do the right thing, but he still had to suffer through the storm just the same as all of them. And he was still shipwrecked, just like they were. You know, sometimes doing what is right will get you into trouble. Like David, for the most part, these men were basically righteous men. David himself was called a man after God's own heart, and yet here he is in such distress. So if he can get into that kind of trouble and those kind of problems, what makes you think that you shouldn't be able to occasionally end up in a bad situation, even if you're doing what is right? There is a trend in some parts of what is generally called Christianity, that say if you know if you're living right, nothing bad will ever happen to you.
The health and wealth gospel,
people call it. That yes, if you believe in God and you have faith, then nothing bad will ever happen to you. And oh, if something bad happens to you, oh, you must be in sin. That's heresy.
Right.
You know, the Bible says the rain falleth on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
Stuff happens. You know, I mean, just because, you know, I could be living righteously and just driving down the road and just doing, you know, whatever I need to do, and, you know, a tree could fall on the car. You know, especially over these past couple of days. Now, does that mean I'm wicked and in sin because a tree fell on it? No, it just means the wind was blowing and a tree fell down. Stuff happens. Getting smacked by a drunk driver, you know? That stuff happens. You know, somebody over, you know, with no license, no insurance, you know, stuff happens. Even if you're living righteously, stuff happens. So don't worry about that so much. Just, you know, don't think that nothing bad can ever happen to you. Bad stuff happens. Remember, we dwell in a sin-sick and stained world. It's hard to live a life that is clean and perfect if you're dwelling in a pigsty. You know, you can't keep it all clean. You could try, but sometimes people throw mud at you. You know, just, you know, pigs wandering around. You get dirty. That's why it's important to be in the church so you can get things cleaned. But how else can we be prepared for bad situations? By remembering to call upon the Lord. See, in either case, no matter how you get into this bad situation, the solution involves one common thread, which is calling upon the Lord. Now, also in both cases, God does get a hold of our attention. I mean, sometimes we can be so busy looking around, we forget to look up. And we must be reminded that we're not alone. See, it's entirely possible that some situations occur simply for God to get our attention. Even sometimes with a lost individual, they will be so far down that there is nowhere else to look but up. You know, I have known several of my friends that God has worked in their lives, and literally they had nowhere else to turn to. They didn't know the Lord, but God worked in their lives so much that, you know, they're like, what am I going to do? I've got nowhere else to turn to. Like, Lord? And then they came along and they heard the gospel and they were saved. And their life is much different now. Mm-hmm. You know? They're no longer drug dealers. They're no longer addicted to things. They're no longer going out robbing and stealing and shooting people. You know? They're people now. You know? Much friendlier. Much nicer. And, most importantly, they have a home in heaven.
Amen.
Now, of course, if the situation you are in is because of your sin, then that must be dealt with in the proper manner, you know, confession and repentance and humility toward God. Book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 13. I think I've read this one before several times. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, let me just make a point there. That does not mean you need to tell me what your sins are. That does not mean you need to go to some man in a box and say, these are my sins. No, you tell them before God. You confess them to the Lord. Not that he doesn't know what they are anyway, but it's you acknowledging them. You know, like when, I'm sure when the boys were younger and they did something bad and you knew which one it was, and you still have them there, like, okay, now which one of you did this, and you knew which one it was, you know. And, you know, and you know, they know already, but you having to acknowledge your sin creates a change in your life. Acknowledging what you did was wrong, and then not doing it again, avoiding it, forsaking it. The Bible in 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Right.
And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all still have sin.
Right.
No, I still have sin. You know, just like the pastor has sin. Oh no, what can we do? But, you know, because I am still dwelling in flesh. You know, as long as I dwell in this flesh, There will be sin around somewhere. Now, we try to keep it to a minimum, you know? You just try and avoid it whenever possible. Stuff happens, but you try to avoid it. You know, you keep far away as possible from it. You know, that's why if you go down the Monkfield Arms on Saturday nights when everyone else is drinking and partying and stuff, you won't find me there. No. Because I'm avoiding that situation. You know? And besides which, I more than likely on Saturday nights, I have other things I have to take care of, especially if Laura's around. I have to, help her with the baby, doing this, doing that, cleaning this, and stuff like that, you know. Just don't have as much time for sin anymore. But it still happens. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as I said, we may still have some repercussions because of our sins. After Samson repented, he was still blind, and he was still chained up. And he died taking out many of the enemies of Israel. After Jonah repented, you know, he was still out of pocket for the journey. You know, because God didn't pay, for Jonah to go into the ship. Jonah paid himself. You know, he didn't get the money back. And he must have stunk unbelievably. Can you imagine being in something else's belly for 3 days? Can you imagine how bad you would smell? Man, that's just some repercussions. You know, it's just, and there's still things that had to be paid for. And he still had to do the job that God told him to do in the first place. So for us, we must still bear the scars of our sin. If I went out and robbed a bank and got caught, I can repent of those things and get right with God, but I will still go to jail. I could go out and get drunk and get my car and crash it into a tree. I can repent of that and get right with God, but I've still lost my car, as well as probably being arrested, and with a side order of getting nagged about it every single day until I die. But it's just temporal repercussions. I mean, we have eternal forgiveness. Those of us who know Christ, eternal forgiveness, yes, but you have temporal consequences for sin and stupidity. Now, if no sin is involved in this particular bad situation, then humility should still be present, but with boldness as we come before the throne. The book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So whether you have done wrong, or whether you have done right, we must still call upon the Lord. You realize that? If you're in a bad situation,
that's right,
don't look around. Look up.
Amen.
That's from whence your help cometh. You know, you're looking for that, you're looking for air support. You know? Don't reinforce, you're looking for air support, you know. And you must still call upon the Lord. But how else can we prepare for these bad situations? Finally, by realizing that we are not the ones with the biggest problem.
That's right.
You're thinking, what? Because remember, if we come before the Lord as we should, He will not forsake us. We that are His children, when God comes to rescue His children, those in opposition had better watch out. If they have persecuted the righteous without cause, those would be the ones with the biggest problems. You know, not us. We wouldn't have the biggest problems. No. I mean, it would be like if someone was picking on my little boy. You know, I mean, Max might have a problem because somebody's picking on him. But when the daddy comes, who's ever doing the picking on, they're going to have the problems. Oh boy, they're going to have buckets of problems. Shovels of problems. You know? They're the people with the problems. Because they're persecuting the righteous. I mean, do you remember in the book of Esther when Haman plotted to hang Mordecai and destroy the Jewish people? All because Mordecai refused to bow to him. See, while he was plotting and persecuting the Lord's people, God had arranged that Esther, Mordecai's cousin, became queen. Although Haman didn't realize this at the time. And Haman ended up being hanged upon the very gallows he had built for Mordecai. Mordecai was promoted and the Jewish people were saved and God was glorified. I mean, even if we just look back at our psalm, do you see the fierceness and the anger and power of the Lord? You know, throwing out lightning bolts here and there, dark clouds, hailstones, coals of fire. I mean, usually that's, you know, pretty much a... That to me says anger. You know, people being blown away by the fierceness of the just by, you know, is the breath of his nose. And that's often how that Eastern culture expresses anger. Have you ever been really mad and you just snort like a bull? And you go... You know, won't do that too much because, you know, stuff flies out. But, you know, you're just really, really mad. Because something really wrong has gone on and you want to take care of business. You know, that's the problem for those who persecute the righteous. Because God gets upset. Just a quick tip. Try not to upset God. Try not to do it. Bad idea. Bad idea? Yeah.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes. And there's a reason why you have fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, God is more than able to deliver us. Even if the situation seems impossible, but remember, there's more than one way of deliverance. Because sometimes he pulls us out. And sometimes he pulls us up and calls us home. You know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king was saying, and which God is able to save you from my wrath? He was saying, yeah, we're going to cast you in the fiery furnace. And they were like, be it known unto you, O king. You know, even if God doesn't pull us out of there, we're still not going to bow. You know? They were looking for either way. You know, whether they died or whether they lived, doesn't matter. They were the Lord's. You know, they would be delivered no matter what. No matter what, they would be in the presence of the Lord. You know, and they were. Because the Lord was walking around with them in the fire. Like, how you doing? Yeah. that would be an amazing thing to see. Oh. I hope they have playbacks, you know, in heaven, so you could just like, Lord, could you show me what that was? How did that happen? But I guess it doesn't really matter, because, you know, it's in his book, so it's a beautiful thing. But you see, God is able to deliver us. The truth is, those of us who have accepted Christ in our lives are saved. Now, that is a present, active, indicative phrase. We are saved. This is positionally, we are with Christ regardless of our current temporal, physical location and circumstances. Now think about that. Even before bad situations occur, if you know Christ as your Savior, then your soul is so secure as to be in a way already in heaven with Christ. We are eternally linked with Jesus Christ, and that cannot be broken no matter what the enemy is or what tries to separate us. We are bonded, fused with Christ. Cannot be broken, cannot be separated. So even if we get into bad situations, our soul is secure. Our soul is already delivered. Now, you know, This stuff might have some problems, but let's face it, this stuff has problems anyway. But we are secure in Christ. Now, we may still, like I said, have some repercussions down here, but as children of the Almighty, our destination is secure because it is not based upon us, but upon His own word and upon the blood He sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. That's what it's based on. We don't make it. Yeah, we don't make that salvation. We can only receive that salvation. So believers, you should be prepared for bad situations because they are inevitable. Sorry. And you can do this by identifying the type of situation which tells you, you know, whether you need to, you know, like, did I do this myself? Is this my fault? Yes? Okay. Confess the sin, repent of the sin, press on. Like, did I get in this situation because I did what was right? Well, praise God for that. Still call upon the Lord and press on. And also by remembering to call upon the Lord and realizing that we're not the ones with the biggest problems. Now, perhaps you're here today and you've never called upon the Lord. Maybe there's never been a time in your life that you have seen yourself as a sinner. Someone who has broken God's laws. And we all have. Maybe you've never repented, that is to turn away from your sin and toward Christ. You've never said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you've never done that, if you've never asked Christ to save you, then that's what you need to do today. For without Christ, you are already condemned in your sin. And you're just waiting for the judgment. See, Christ loves you. And He proved it by shedding His blood on Calvary, dying in our place. And all we need to do is to receive Him and receive that forgiveness. If you don't know Christ, come today and we'll show you from the Scriptures how you can know that heaven can be your home. And for those of you who do know Christ and you get into these bad situations, remember, look up.
Amen.
Look up. It's like, yo, it doesn't look so good around. Look up and ask Him. He'll pull you out of there. He's done it for me several times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord.